Would you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, your word is a very familiar one this morning. We've heard of Thomas many times, but we pray this morning that you will open our hearts to hear something new. Something that's always a truth that's always been there, but we just weren't in a place to hear it. And may we hear it with full understanding and faith. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. Some of you, like me, who have been around a while, will remember the old game show, To Tell the Truth. Now, there were several iterations of this game show. There was one real old version that was in black and white, which you can see on YouTube. The one I remember had Gary Moore as the host. And three of their four panelists were the regulars, Kitty Carlisle, Peggy Cass, and Bill Cullen. And as you remember, the object of this show was that three people would come on the show purporting to be the same somewhat famous person. And only by asking questions, the four panelists had to try to guess which one of the three was telling the truth. And at the end of the segment, the host would ask, "Will the real," and then say the person's name, "please stand up?" And there was always, I always remember that, like they talked about it before, and they were kind of, the three would kind of look at each other, and some would kind of start, and then finally the real one would stand up. Well, I thought of that show as I read today's gospel lesson about the disciples and Thomas. You see, one of the truths of the Enlightenment is that it spawned the skeptic. People who did not accept things at face value or the way they're written or said. However, the truth, skepticism and doubting are as old as humanity itself. It's always been there. And today, we hear of one of the greatest skeptics of all time. Thanks to the Bible and history, Thomas has gone down in history as one of the greatest skeptics ever. So much so that we call him Doubting Thomas. Now, in ancient history, and as I read it in the Bible, he was known as Didymus Thomas, and Didymus is twin, Thomas the twin. Not Thomas the doubter. But most people today, I think, know Thomas as the doubting one. And he's a wonderful human voice in the great story of Jesus. We hear Thomas and the account of Lazarus, of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Jesus gets words that Lazarus is very ill. And he said, let's go to Jerusalem, or Bethany, which is right near Jerusalem, so that I might be with Lazarus. But by the time they start out, Lazarus is dead. But the disciples are saying to him, "No, Lord, if we go back, we might get killed, and we might get killed with you." And it's Thomas who speaks up and says, "Let us also go that we might die with him." Kind of a voice of resignation. And then in John chapter 14, we hear Jesus telling the disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. In my Father's house, but believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I'm going." At which point Thomas interrupts him and says, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And that little interruption causes Jesus to be more precise about what he was saying. It's almost kind of like, "Ah, Thomas, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Will the little disciple please stand up? You know, we think about, okay, which of the disciples were the real ones? Is it blustering, egotistical, know-it-all Peter? Or is the real disciple the brazen corporate ladder-climbing twins, James and John? Or is the real disciple the bring the kid with a fish, Andrew, who doesn't really have any idea how two fish can, how that can help with the feeding of the 5,000? Or is it the, unless I can see the nail prints in his side, Thomas? Will the real disciple please stand up? Well, I think they're all real disciples. Not because they were apostles, but I think in their own human way, they were all real disciples. But I like to choose Thomas, because Thomas's caution, in my eyes, makes him a very credible witness. I'm not going to necessarily believe. I got to see some things first. And then, my Lord and my God. Reverend Susan Guthrie, in an article in the Christian Century magazine, once wrote, "Furthermore, after an invitation to touch the wounds of Jesus, Thomas penetrates even beyond the superficial excitement of the moment. It's cousin Thomas who delivers the punchline that kicks off the next 2,000 years of professional Christology. My Lord and my God." Christology being the study of Christ. And because of his caution, Thomas extracts a blessing for us today. When Jesus said, "You believe because you've seen? Blessed are they who have not seen yet believe." That's us he's talking about. Thomas's caution reminds us that even in our skepticism, in our doubt, we can serve Christ and be blessed by Christ. We don't have to be so full of faith that we have all the answers. You know, I also like to remind people, if you listen carefully to that, or read carefully that story that I shared from the Gospel of John about Thomas, Jesus showed the other disciples, that first time he was with them when Thomas wasn't there, he showed them his nail prints in his hands and his side before they believed. We think it was only for Thomas, but it was with Jesus too, or with the other disciples too. You see, we need to be able to admit our doubts and live with our humanity and still be a disciple. The other 12 or 11 or 10 by now, the other 10 were not perfect people. In fact, they all denied Jesus. They all ran away from Jesus during Holy Week. There was a minister who was walking down the street, and he saw a circle of boys who were laughing, and then they were silent, and then they were laughing again. And wondering what was going on, he walked towards them, and he noticed then that there was a little puppy in the middle of the circle of boys. And worried that they might be teasing the puppy, the minister said, "What are you boys doing?" And one of the boys answered that the puppy was a stray that they all wanted. And so they were having a contest, and whoever told the biggest lie would win the puppy to take home. And the minister chided the boys, saying, "Boys, when I was your age, I never told a lie." And the boys grew quiet and kind of looked at each other. Finally, the spokesboy told the minister, "Okay, Rev, you win the puppy." The boys were healthy skeptics. And their skepticism should have reminded the pastor that he was human and to get comfortable with it. We have to remember that those who heard the words of John's gospel the first time were Greeks. And Greeks who were not eyewitnesses to the life of Jesus. And Greeks in that day and age were professional skeptics. The story of Thomas tells them that they have a place in the church as well. They are blessed as those who saw Jesus. Thomas reminds us that we don't have to believe every little thing we say and that is said to us. And some time ago, I shared the story, maybe even more than once, of Bishop Yvette Flunder of the City of Refuge United Church of Christ in San Francisco. She had a segment in the opening Questions of Faith video series that we used once. As she grew up in the Pentecostal tradition, and she said, you know, we believe that the Bible had an answer for every question. And if you did not know that answer, or if you did not agree with that answer, then you were going straight to hell. And she grew up believing the answer was right, was the right one. The one that she knew was the right one. And that anyone who believed differently was suspect. And she said, if you did not know the answer, then you would call up the Bible answer man. And he would give you that one answer. Talking about power. And Bishop Flunder says that as she grew older, as she evolved, she discovered that there is less and less that she's sure about. She finds herself more and more saying, I don't know. But she says, I'm more comfortable with what I believe. I'm more at peace than I've ever been. We don't need to know. I read that. And I think of people like we heard this past week, if you've been reading the news, about Reverend Franklin Graham challenging Mayor Buttigieg, one of the Democratic presidential candidates. He said in a tweet, Mayor Buttigieg says that he's a gay Christian. As a Christian, I believe the Bible, which defines homosexuality as a sin and something to be repentant of, not something to be flaunted, praised, or politicized. And so just because of something he doesn't agree with Mayor Buttigieg, Graham seeks to call the entire faith into question. Mayor Buttigieg is suspect. In Graham's world, there are no doubts. There are no questions. He has it all figured out. And I wonder what he would have said had he been one of those disciples with Jesus the first time and then told Thomas that they'd seen him. And Thomas said, well, I don't know, guys. Unless I can see. What would somebody like a Graham have said? The real disciples are the ones who live the life of Jesus and follow his teaching as best as they are able, but not perfect. Doubt and skepticism can lead us deeper into faith, help us to live with the differences that others express. It helps us to live with the ambiguities of life. Because you see, folks, life is not black and white. You know that as well as I do. So when we say, will the real disciple please stand up? We may be surprised at what that real disciple looks like or talks like. Thomas said, my Lord and my God.
Amen.